And we continue our 75th anniversary podcast here at 1480 WHBC as we look back at 75 years of great high school football here via 1480 and via Stark County. And I guess we'd be remiss to say that we've covered it all if we didn't bring up the name of the man who we have on the line right now, and that's former Hoover quarterback, former Cleveland Cavalier, and all-around athlete in Dick Snyder. Dick, thanks for being part of this.
Hey, you're welcome, John. Happy to be here.
So, Dick, looking back at your high school career and looking back at being in Stark County, what made Stark County a special place for you to start your athletic career?
Well, especially in football. I mean, it was a really, back at that point, I don't know how many counties in the country would be able to match what Stark had in terms of top flight football teams, McKinley and Maslin being the two primary ones. So for football, absolutely. The other sports, baseball, very good. I mean, Canton itself, I played in a really good Class A league there that my father had played in, and had some really good former pros and upcoming people. So, and it was home. I love my little town of North Canton.
You know, I was reading today and even reading just over the course of time about you here in Stark County and articles that have been written, and even up to today, people still say that you're one of the best 10, maybe 5 athletes that's ever come through the county. What allowed you to excel at 3 sports and at basically anything that you put your hand on? Why were you so good at everything that you did?
Yeah, I've got to thank God's grace and genetics. I mean, it's. I'll be honest, it's not like I did anything exceptional in terms of trying to develop myself. If I found a sport that I enjoyed, I went out to play it. But I mean, when you start out playing in the little league, and what they had back then was midget football, I didn't have any expectations. I just loved because I wanted to play. I will say this, and probably because if you have early success, maybe everybody feels that way. I mean, I just, after only a couple of years, you just expect to be good. I mean, you expect like you should be able to play as well as anybody else you play against.
Let's take it to Hoover now and your career there and your time there. And let's talk specifically football, because, I mean, we're going to talk football and we even talk basketball and baseball, obviously. But that season that you won MVP here, your coach, Don Hertler Sr., what did he do to allow you to grow as a football player and as a quarterback to win an award like a Stark County MVP?
Well, that was his first, that was the first year he was a head coach. Okay, so we had a banquet for him sometime after that, and not all that many years ago, although it's probably in 10 now. And when he was being honored, he had some of the other really good players that had been at North Canton, and you sort of alluded to this earlier. I mean, when my name was mentioned, they said, well, he wasn't my best quarterback, but he was the best athlete I ever coached. And that was said about me later on in basketball. So he was feeling things out. And when we didn't have a very dynamic offense, and I was, over 6'4", and at the time weighed close to 200 pounds, played quarterback, was the fastest guy on the team, and we ran the ball a lot. And I loved to run the football. So what he did most for me was allow me to take the ball and either sprint left or right, go off tackle or outside, have a fullback and a halfback blocking in front of me, and just to pick up what the line couldn't do, to be honest. But he worked us hard. I mean, we worked really hard in practices. He was really diligent that way. And that was a habit that stayed with me, I think, in each sport I played my whole career.
WHBC's 1961 Most Valuable Player, Dick Snyder, joining us here on the 75th anniversary podcast. And you mentioned that year that you had, and you mentioned why you had the year you had, and well, because after that you were kind of being coveted by a lot of different major colleges, were you not to play football? So why didn't you immediately say, I don't want to play baseball anymore, I don't want to play basketball anymore, and I want to play football? Because Woody Hayes was looking at you, was he not?
Woody Hayes spoke at my high school banquet.
Wow.
Okay, so for a little school like North Canton to have Woody Hayes come, obviously has an interest in you. Okay, was being diligently recruited by Michigan and Michigan. I visited Michigan and Michigan State and Northwestern, and every place I went, I said, hey, can I play basketball and baseball too? And nobody was very interested except maybe Northwestern. I even visited Stanford, UCLA, and Oklahoma. I mean, so I had a lot of interest in football, but by the end of my senior year, I'll be honest, I just began to feel like I didn't love the game enough to go on and play it for another 4 years against guys that loved it more than I did.
Well, and not just that, but you were drafted to play baseball at one point too, correct?
Well, I was, and actually my father never told me because he was certain that his kids were going to go to college. He hadn't gone to college. He thought that limited a little bit in terms of his advancement in the Hoover Company. And so I had a chance to sign a baseball contract out of high school. He never told me because he wanted us to go to college. And I was drafted then. When I was a senior, the draft hadn't started yet, but I was my senior year at Davidson. I played basketball. I played baseball my whole career at Davidson until my senior year. And after the basketball season, I just wanted a little break. But I still was still hopeful that I'd go see if I could make it in the NBA for, see what happened my rookie year and then try to play baseball in the summer because I still really enjoyed baseball. And I was drafted by Washington, I believe, but not very high up.
Do you think that it would have been harder for you to have made the decisions that you made in today's world if you were the same person you were back then in today's world? Do you think life would have been harder for you?
Well, knowing what kids are like, in terms of the kids, I mean, if you're a very special athlete, excuse me, you can still, in some situations, play three sports all the way through high school. It's rather rare. But for the most part, you never get a chance to be that good because you got to make a choice before you get through high school. So I don't know what I would have done. I mean, I can't tell you how grateful I am that things worked out the way they did. If I'd had to make, I don't know what I would have done if I had to make decisions like that when I was 14 or 15 years old, just getting into high school.
Wow. Wow. It's crazy to look back at and to think about all those things that you were able to accomplish just even up through high school. And you mentioned your dad working at the Hoover Company and how that was obviously a big part of your background and being from North Canton. What kind of lifestyle and what kind of work ethic did your dad instill in you? And do you think that that was a big part of why you were the player that you were?
I think watching him grow, I grew up watching him play the amateur basketball and baseball. And he'd been a bomber pilot, a Martin Marauder bomber pilot in World War II, flying over Europe on D-Day. But I grew up seeing him play baseball and seeing him play basketball, and he worked hard at it. And then, my brother and I were out throwing baseballs and playing tag football or something in the yard and shooting baskets. He even knocked down his barbecue set that he built by hand out of brick and stuff that he could entertain people. He knocked that down so he could put a little asphalt down in a basketball court in the little bitty yard we had.
Now, after you went through high school and you finally kind of settled on basketball, I'm not sure what other decisions you could have had maybe to play basketball at that point, but why did you pick Davidson of all schools? Because now, maybe there was a time where people knew Davidson for Dick Snyder for the records that he set there, but now you say Davidson and everybody thinks about Steph Curry. So, why Davidson?
It's because Davidson was the only school to pick me. if we have time, it's an interesting little story.
Sure.
I was playing football against the school over in Salem, well, outside of Salem, and a father, the father of a kid named Don Davidson, that was recruited by the coach Lefty Grissell at Davidson. And this, he was new to college coaching. He'd been a high school coach in Newport News, and Davidson was absolutely nothing. They were continually at the bottom of the league in the Southern Conference. Never won anything in basketball. Maybe a couple-year period right after World War II, I think. But his father saw me play football, and I ran for 3 touchdowns. And according to him, I jumped over a DB when he tried to tackle me. So he called Coach Lefty DeSell because his son had been an all-state football player and an all-state basketball player and picked Davidson to go play basketball at because it had a good pre-med school. Lefty called me during football season in November and asked if I'd be interested in taking a look at Davidson for basketball. And at the time, I said, no, I wanted to stay in state. I mean, I really wanted my parents and my girlfriend to be able to come to games and things like that. So football comes and goes. Basketball comes and goes. I get a lot of football contacts, so I'm doing a lot. No basketball contacts. And we're in early in baseball season. And I'm thinking, what am I going to do? I really don't want to play football. I need a scholarship, though. So I was going to have to make football. And I get another call from Lefty Grissell basically saying, I just called because I want to find out maybe if you change your mind. Now, he'd never seen me play. He only had 2 scholarships to give out, but he had one of them left. He said, Coach, I'd love to visit Davidson. So I went down there. I fell in love with the school. And I'll be honest, my thought was, obviously nobody else thought I could play basketball at a high level. So my thought was, I can probably play at that level. Now, what he managed to do at Davidson in his 9 years there, and I was on about, I think that you had to wait till you were a sophomore to play. So the class ahead of me was just a really dynamic class and had a really good center that went on to play in the NBA. But I joined them in my junior year. We were Sports Illustrated's preseason pick for #1 in the country.
Wow.
At Davidson. So Davidson has been on the basketball map years before Steph got there. It lasted Lefty's 9 years, and then they were much better than they were before, but never to the same stature until Steph got there.
So, moving forward even a step further now, you end up with a number of different teams in the NBA. You're not drafted by the Cavaliers, but you end up back in Cleveland, and we're kind of fast forwarding a bit through here to the big season that I'm sure everybody talks about with you, but that miracle at Richfield year, how special was it to be part of that team? And not just be part of that team, but to be a kid who grew up an hour away from where you were playing your pro ball then. What was that like being a hometown kid on that group with that team?
Very, very special. And that's a great group of guys. We've gotten together a couple times. I mean, so many of the guys on that team, I'd be able to play with Nate Thurmond, you know, for a year, Campy Russell and Austin Carr, and then I have to go on and name all the guys on that team. But I mean, it was very special, especially and especially so since my parents could come watch me play. Okay, I mean, I'd been in Phoenix, I'd been in Seattle for 5 years, I'd been way across the country from Ohio, so they rarely got to see me play, and none of the games were on TV. So it was absolutely wonderful. But from another standpoint, I grew up in northeastern Ohio. I grew up cheering for the Indians. Baseball was my first love. I can even remember the pitchers they had, and the names are still with me. And with the Browns, watching Jim Brown run the ball. So knowing how the Cleveland and northeastern Ohio had some really good teams in the 50s, into the 60s, and they hadn't had a whole lot. So to be there and watch the city of Cleveland get as excited as they were over that year was really, I can't say it's the best memory of my life. My wife would shoot me. But no, it's really, really special.
Our 1961 WHBC MVP, Dick Snyder, joins us on the 75th year podcast. You mentioned Lefty Drusill, and Bill Fitch was your coach with the Cavaliers. And obviously, those weren't the only two coaches that you had. But in your time, you went through the paths of a number of really great basketball coaches. Which one did the most for you to make you a better player, Dick?
My fourth year in the league, I'd been with the Hawks in St. Louis, and the Atlanta Hawks. And when I did play, I was in the backcourt with a guy named Lenny Wilkins, which not everybody today would recognize, but he's one of those rare people. He's in the Basketball Hall of Fame, both as a player and a coach.
Sure.
And he was left-handed. He was always an assist leader. And to be honest, my game, I was not a good ball handler. I was a center in high school and a wing in college. But I could run, jump, and shoot. And I made my living shooting a jump shot. So being able to play with him and sort of establishing myself as somebody that was a really good defensive player and a really good shooter, you know, certainly helped extend my career. And he was a player coach in Seattle. So I've seen him. I played with him a couple of years in St. Louis. He traded for me got me from Phoenix. So he was a player coach there for 3 years. So that playing with Eddie gave me a career, really.
Winning that NBA championship too with the Supersonics at the end of your career, that had to be just an awesome way to go out. What was that season like? What was it like to be with that group of guys and to win an NBA championship in a city like Seattle that I don't necessarily think a lot of people would have thought of at that time as being a huge basketball town, but you guys kind of made it one, didn't you?
And from that time on, they had some pretty good teams, but up until that point, no. In fact, we were my third year with Lenny there. I mean, we were maybe a little better than 500 team. Okay. And just barely missed out on the playoffs. But to be back in Seattle after being there for 5 years, and I was if I was a star anywhere, it was in Seattle, just at a local level. And to be back there and be able to celebrate with the people of Seattle, you know, go through that, have the parade through downtown with hundreds of thousands of people there. That's my son, my oldest son, doesn't really remember any of my basketball, but he remembers that parade. So it was nice to celebrate that because Seattle was going through some hard times back then. That when I got traded up there, there was a sign in Seattle that said, "Well, the last one leaving Seattle, please turn out the lights," because they'd really been hit by a depression. Boeing was a big aircraft company employer there. It dropped from 100,000 to 35,000 people. We had Boeing engineers running donut shops and things like that. So,
wow.
So it was great to see that that city get to celebrate.
Wow, I never knew that story. That's really fascinating that your career coincided with so many different things like that. Last couple thoughts for you here, Dick, and then we'll let you go. But going back to Stark County for a bit, and I know we kind of touched on this earlier, but do you think you would have been the athlete that you were if you had grown up in another part of the country and not grown up in Stark County that has that feeling of when you're here, athletics kind of runs synonymous with what you do as a kid? Do you think growing up here helped you become the athlete that you were?
I'm really hard to say. I mean, for years, I always thought I was lucky. I had really good fortune that things went well for me. Okay. That years and years after the fact. Okay. And I don't feel like I'm tooting the horn because so many people have said it. I was, for my size, especially, I was pretty gifted. There weren't many, you know, 6'4" plus quarterbacks that could run and pass and do all of that. And even in baseball, pitchers that threw hard like that. So I think that would have shown up somewhere else. I'm glad it didn't. I'm glad I had that in Ohio. I mean, I just there's a couple things now that really I tell people and they have to smile. People that know me as a basketball player, Now I'm not embarrassed to talk about it because I know, I don't know. Now my mind's going to go blank. I was talking with somebody from the repository when we celebrated the 40th anniversary of the Cavaliers 76 team. And he went back and looked through the files, and he sent me a picture of me crossing home plate after hitting a home run in the Canton-Akron All-Star game. And my hand was being shaken by Thurman Munson. So when we did play there, we ran up against some pretty good players.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. I mean, like what I was saying, I mean, the fact that, you know, you time in your life with Lenny Wilkins, with Thurman Munson, with, you know, the great names that went through Hoover. I mean, you're truly blessed to cross the paths of a lot of people, weren't you?
No question. I've got it now. My senior year, I was elected Stark County Player of the Year, which is why I'm on.
Sure.
And I'm sure it was because I was a quarterback and I was a senior, and he was only a junior. But Alan Page came in second.
Wow. I just talked to Alan. I just talked to Alan a couple weeks ago as part of this. He was on this a couple weeks ago, and that's crazy that he, because we were thinking about that too. We wondered how he never won the MVP, but it was you in
60.
He didn't. It was you in 61 and then Frank Dugan in 1962.
Oh, Mike. I thought sure he would have won it the year after that.
It's kind of crazy to think about. You would have thought that he would have been one of those guys that would have brought it home, but not the fortune of the award, I suppose. And we've done that with a couple of guys. There have been a couple of guys that have gone through the county that we wonder how they didn't win it. But obviously you, Dick Snyder, you were one of those that did win that award and did have that. And the last question I want to ask you is this, only because I grew up for, gosh, how many years of my life talking to my brother about this, where every time we would talk about the Cavs getting close to a finals, the only thing we would talk about was Jim Jones and how he broke his leg. How heartbreaking was that, and how tough was that, knowing that you guys were that close to being that team?
I don't know how you can put it, how you can put emotions to it. I mean, at the time, you're so involved, you just got to go play, okay? I mean, everybody there was playing as hard as they could to try to beat the Celtics, and we'd had the decent success against the Celtics during the year. I think we were probably 500 against them, and I mean, we all believe today, to this day, if we'd had Jones, we'd have beaten the Celtics and playing for the championship against the Phoenix Suns. And our feeling is there's no way the NBA wanted to see Cleveland and Phoenix playing for the NBA championship. So they made sure the Celtics were going to win. The officials may have done that even with Jones. But no, it's been a long time ago. It's not something that I harbor. But, you just didn't wonder how in the world could that have happened. It's such a freak thing to happen in the few games of practice we had.
Dick, I appreciate the time. It's funny that you say the NBA didn't want Phoenix and Cleveland, because then just, the past 5 years before this past year, they had Oakland and Cleveland every year in the finals, and they seem to be pretty okay with that when that happened.
Well, things have changed a little bit.
Just a bit. It helped to have that guy that wore number 23 as well. He kind of drove some people into the seats, I would suppose you could say.
Oh, yeah. No question. I tell people when we were playing, I mean, in that year it changed a little bit. But when I was first in the NBA, the only time you ever saw that on national TV was a Sunday afternoon after the NFL had quit playing. Most of the teams didn't have a television contract. And it was totally East Coast-centric.
That's crazy how much it's changed.
It's so different.
Now you have Monday night basketball, you have Tuesday basketball, you have Wednesday basketball, Thursday basketball. It's every day of the week, just like the NFL is. They're all
over the world, too. True. All over the world.
Truly it is. Dick, I appreciate the time. Our 1961 WHBC MVP, Dick Snyder, as part of the 75th anniversary podcast. Dick, thanks for joining us and rehashing all the great memories with us, all right?
You're welcome, and hi to anybody back there that can still remember. I'm fortunate enough to still be here.
I'm sure they'll remember you. Your name comes up quite often in North Canton still every time I go out there.
I appreciate it. Thank you.